Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Things over to Paul Triple H Levesque. And for an encore performance, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for being here again tonight. I thought we had another spectacular show. You know, it's incredibly difficult to go back to back two nights in a row, keep the energy and the spectacle and everything about it at that level, following up on something that was as good as last night. But I really thought they did it. I thought the talent delivered tonight, and really put something out over the last 2 days that was incredibly special. From from the pre-show with Breezango and Killian and Drake, which was a really fun match, to Poppy, who I would like to thank for being here, Grammy-nominated artist, covering Adam Ant's Stand and Deliver, which is just one of those songs that gets caught in your head, then you can't get it out. And then playing an original song of hers that hadn't been heard before, Say Cheese. I thought she had a spectacular performance. She's a great just visual artist to me that just fits the brand very well, and has sort of kind of become family in NXT, so it's great to have her here. I thought the Cruiserweight Championship match between Escobar and Jordan Devlin was spectacular. This is one of those nights where there are winners and losers clearly to the matches, but there are no winners and there are no losers, man. Everybody wins here. I thought they both had a spectacular performance. They both came out of this looking phenomenal. Santos Escobar is the undisputed champion, but Jordan Devlin certainly proving absolutely one of the best in the world at what he does. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, putting on a great tag team match for the Women's Tag Championships. Ember and Shotzi retaining in what was a spectacular match. And I thought they did a phenomenal job, and I'm sure it's not the last time those two will be facing. The women's tag team division heating up, and we are certainly turning it into be something more than it's hard to say that the depth of the women's division here is just it's amazing, and This is a part of it. You know, Indy Hartwell just kind of coming into her own. Candice, obviously one of the veterans, but just putting on a hell of a match, and the tag team division is heating up. I expect great things, and I'm sure it won't be the last time we see these four. Bronson and Johnny, after Bronson's spectacular night last night, coming in and getting in there with Johnny, who just never lets you down. Johnny's just consistent as consistent can be. Johnny Takeover. Putting on a master class with Bronson Reed, retaining the North American title. Finn and Karrion Kross, Kross having an unbelievable setback, really, when you break it down. You come into a place and you get everything man, everything is going your way, and it just, you know, it's all there for you, and in the blink of an eye, it just all goes away. But to put that aside, grind, get it all back, like he did, and I mean that on the reality side of what we do and the show side of what we do, is just a phenomenal feat. And then Finn Balor, I'll say it time and time again, is reinventing yourself, recreating yourself is not an easy task. And what he has done here in NXT and will continue to do here in NXT is just truly remarkable. Spectacular match. And then Kyle and Adam, just masterclass in storytelling to me. Phenomenal. Both guys just beat the tar out of each other. We put them both in ambulances at the end just to check everybody out, make sure everybody was good. They've all checked out fine. I just got a phone call a few minutes ago. Everybody is good. Everybody is healthy. No injuries as of right now. So everything's solid. But with that, I'm going to mention one more thing before I open it up to questions. And that really just is, I want to mention Brian James, Road Dog. He's been home last few days. He is recovering, but he's healthy and he's good and recovering at home, doing well. We had him set up, so he was on headset over the last 2 days, and you know, kind of being involved and stuff. And as he gets his strength back and everything feeling good, he'll be back at it and back to being the Road Dog in no time. So we just wanted to give a shout out to him, and we greatly miss him here, and he'll be back soon enough, but he's doing well. So with that, I'm going to open it up to questions. Right now it's just me. Sean stepped out of the room for a second, but he'll be right back in. We still have a little bit of things going on here, so I'll open up to questions.
Thank you.
All right, folks, usual rules. One question per hour, please.
Thank you. If you would like to signal with questions, please press *1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're joining us today using a speakerphone, please make sure mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is *1 if you would like to ask questions. Our first question will come from Michael Morales-Torres with Luca Libra Online.
Gentlemen, good evening. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing very good. How are you?
Everything good here in Puerto Rico, Paul. First of all, congratulations on such an amazing show. You guys killed it again. My question is regarding Adam Cole. We saw an incredible masterpiece, as you mentioned, from him and Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle got the victory, which, in my opinion, was a great decision. But where does this, leave Adam Cole? Like, is he getting a call from Raw or SmackDown? Is he staying on NXT? What's Adam Cole's future with NXT?
I mean, I would advise you to watch on Tuesday. You know, I don't know if you've heard or not, but this Tuesday we start on USA. It's our new night, and it'll be spectacular. So I think all things will be revealed then. But, it's just a funny thing.
I tell you, you drop a fall around here, man, and just people start right off whether you like it or not.
Yeah, one loss, you're out.
Many crickets. Yeah,
I think it's a funny thing when you succeed here and you do really well here for a fairly long period of time. There are moments in time where you're telling stories, and then something definitive happens, like tonight, and people think that's the end of it. Certainly, that's the end of the book. That's the end of the chapter. That's the move on. There's not that case at all. If that were the case, then, half this roster would be leaving tonight. And it's not the case at all. It's a chapter in the story. It's a chapter in the saga that they're telling. And Kyle O'Reilly proving himself against the man that said he was the leader of the Undisputed Era and was just dragging them all along and were just his lackeys. Proving not so much of a lackey anymore. But if I'm Adam Cole, I can't imagine that sits very well with him. So I would imagine that is not the end of the story.
Yeah, and this is right. This is taking Kyle O'Reilly to the next level. I think everybody would agree that Adam Cole has certainly been in the top level for over a year here now. And I think now Kyle O'Reilly has put himself on that same level as Adam Cole. I can't see that stopping now. No.
Thank you very much. Wishing you success on WrestleMania and this next Tuesday on NXT. Thank you.
So much.
And our next question will come from Connor Casey with comicbook.com.
Hey, Connor.
Hey, Hunter. Thanks for doing this. You mentioned the challenges of putting on a two-night show like this. Can we expect a two-night takeover to be something that starts happening once a year, or do you prefer going back to just having these on one night?
You know, I don't really know. I mean, even you know, WrestleMania last year, WrestleMania this year being two nights, TakeOver being two nights this year, it sort of came into the right timing and the right position of where we, you know, needed to be with it and be able to deliver the way we wanted to. But it's hard, you know, it's hard to tell what's going to be next month in this pandemic world and with everything else going on. As things open back up, we'll have to see what next year brings. Next year, WrestleMania, as we move into Dallas and we see how that goes, is that a one-night event, a two-night event? If it's a one-night event, or do we move back to the Saturday and make that something spectacular? Do we move into the, you know, to the two-night slot someplace else? I'm not really sure. Time will tell, but that's the great thing about what we do. We can be nimble and move into what we want it to be when the time comes, and, you know, we'll try to make the best decision for the WWE Universe and for our fans everywhere.
Pretty proud of the fact that we could have two nights and two strong cards.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive for the brand that started, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, I mean
on live TV.
Yeah, in that manner, and
yeah.
2 hours live TV. Yeah, to have a brand strong enough that you could put on this level of show, start to finish, main events, two nights, you know, multiple matches that could have been main events two nights in a row, multiple shows that could have stood on their own as a takeover. You know, last night could have stood on its own as a takeover, period. It absolutely did. Tonight, same thing. The cards were deep and thick, and it wasn't everybody. So, you know, that's a statement in and of itself. So we'll see where it goes, though, in the future.
Awesome. Well, thanks for another great show.
Thanks, Connor.
And our next question will come from John Alba with Spectrum News 13.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. As always, great show tonight. The build to the main event on television and presentation was really, really strong, and you had the security guards out there ahead of time. And I noticed from watching that a lot of those people that were among that security staff were part of that big new NXT class you guys brought in, which a lot of people have spoken pretty highly about. And since you guys have worked so closely with those individuals, I was wondering if any in particular have really stood out in the early goings here during their time at the PC.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are moonlighting now at a security company next door, and we're using them as as security on a fairly regular basis. Look, if you're going to have 6 foot, 260-pound guy stand around, you got to use them for security. Boy, a lot of them. It's a funny thing. I was just talking about this the other day, you know, when we got into the COVID environment and pandemic hits, and you start to look at, you can't train for a long period of time. You know, it's been about a year and a half that we really didn't have the facility to train and keeping people healthy, because the Capitol Center or what was Raw, SmackDown and all that was our TV facility, you know, was our training center. And we lost all that. Just recently, we've been able to start that again and be able to start training on a large basis. But when you started to look at that from a year and a half ago, there were moments where you were going like, oof, man, there's some talent. But, you know, when you start to get into the – you constantly want to have the veterans and the people that are TV ready and then almost TV ready and then not quite TV ready and then people that are just getting started. Maybe they're just stepping in the ring for the first time. And so that you're constantly building that upwards trajectory. And when you started to look at the bottom of it, it was pretty thin. But that was mostly because COVID prevented us from bringing people in. So they were in the pipeline to come in here, and we couldn't bring them in. And then all of a sudden they came in all at once. And when you start looking at some of the athletes that have, that are walking in the door here, it's impressive. It's impressive. And I can tell you, watching them train, you know, there are certain athletes that come in here where you're just like jaw dropping, you know, first few times they get in there, and sometimes they're jaw dropping athletes and they don't bring the charisma level, or they don't bring the other things, and that's stuff that you have to work on, or vice versa. This crop, I can tell you right now, they're all full of personality. They're all got massive amounts of charisma, and they're all just like crazy athletes. And I'm talking about men and women. So, I went from a few months ago of being like...
Same last 2 months.
Yeah. You know, Sean was just saying last 2 months. It's like, you know, 3 months ago, maybe we were looking at it going, you know, but there's a big pipeline coming in. And then when that pipeline got here, all of a sudden, when you saw those people walk in the door hungry and get in the ring, you were like, wow, okay, yeah, future's bright. We're good. It's been impressive. I don't know that I've seen a more impressive starting group in a long period of time than what's in here right now. And hungry.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
And our next question will come from Jason Powell with Pro Wrestling Net.
Hey, guys. My question is for Sean. Your ups and downs have been well chronicled over the years. How would a 20-something Sean have handled life at the Performance Center? Were you just too much of a free spirit, or do you think that the way things that you guys do there might have actually been just what you needed at that point in your life?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I've been asked that before, and I do. I don't know. I think me at that age, the structure would have helped me a great deal. Especially, again, I don't know, again, you got people, and given my past and everything else, we talk very real with everybody. And that is something that I think would have helped. So I do. I think I appreciate the question, because it is something I've thought about before. And I do. I really think I could have used this kind of structure, this kind of, you know, team, this kind of support. People, again, you know, I don't know. Not telling you this is cool when it really isn't. You know, not being afraid to be honest with you, to be open with you, and letting you know when you were screwing up. So yeah, I do. I really think that something like this, and that's what I love about this place, again, is that everybody is really hands-on here. It gets very personal here. We're allowed to have relationships with these young men and women where you can really get to know them, and that helps. It helps a great deal. And it's certainly for somebody like me, who I've always said, when I did this job, it wasn't just business to me. It was very personal to me, because it's had two loves in my life, wrestling and the woman I'm still married to. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that I think it would have really helped to have people be open and honest and support you as we do here. So I think it's a fantastic question. I hope I answered it okay for you.
You did. Thank you for the time.
I would say this, knowing Sean, you know, you hear it a lot, and Vince takes a lot of unnecessary criticisms for a lot of things, but, like, you hear a lot, especially from the older talent that were in that period of time that Sean is talking about, where you'll hear Vince talk to you almost like a father figure to a lot of people that didn't have that in their lives. And the reason is because Vince would, there were two things that he did. One, he told you, I believe in you. Yeah. And two, he told you stuff straight. He didn't mince words. He didn't anything. And sometimes you might have hated him for it in the moment, but he was probably the closest thing to most guys had to a dad. He told them the truth, whether they wanted to hear it or not. He set them straight when they needed to. And he was a strong hand with them, but he believed in them. And he let them struggle and fail and succeed and all those things. And but he did it in a way that, you know, you hear it all the time. He was a father figure to me. I think there's so much of that here. I think whether it's, and I don't necessarily mean father figures, but I mean that support system of people that believe in you, but at the same point in time aren't here to tell you, you're great, don't worry about it, just do whatever you want to do. They're here to tell you the truth. They're here to make you better. They're here to make you succeed, whether you want to hear it or not. And some people will struggle with that. Most people will thrive with it and grow from it. And I think that's a part of it. I do agree. I think this would have been really good for somebody like Sean because it would have been a structured system around him as opposed to one voice.
And our next question will come from Sean Ross Sapp with Fightful.
Hey, guys. We got news that Walter got back the stolen UK title earlier this month, and that you guys actually sent the person who recovered it a signed belt, which was very nice of you guys. Is WWE going to take any action about this? And have you guys ever personally experienced anything like this throughout your career? Because it's quite a wild situation.
Walter is chopping people at this moment in time all across the UK, trying to find who stole that title. So there's a lot of red, bloody chests in Europe right now. And when he finds out who did it, boy.
No, that was pretty cool. I mean, it was actually a pretty cool story to hear. And, it's funny because Walter did. He mentioned it the other day, and he was talking about it, how cool he thought it was, and that, of course, they signed it, but I think I don't know if they sent him the actual one that he lost because they made a new one.
Well, I think what they did is they got the one that was stolen back, and then they made one with, I think, it had different plates on it or something, maybe customized. To be honest, I didn't really look at it that closely, but Walter asked me to sign it, which was part of the deal of sending it to the guy,
yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly how the exact story went. But, yeah, like Sean said, pretty cool story that they were able to recover that. And
I have to say, I never had mine stolen. But, like, back in the day, that's why all the guys, they carried the title. We all had the little Halliburtons, and that you could, back then, you could check them through the machine at the airport. So you always carried it on you most of the time. And I don't, even me, I don't think I ever lost, I never lost one, which is, pretty amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah. The source. Yeah.
I think Flair lost him every other week.
I think so.
Yeah.
That and watch.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Gary Cassidy with Inside the Ropes.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Sean. Congratulations on a fantastic second night. I actually wanted to ask a little bit about someone we've seen on both nights in Pete Dunne. He obviously looks like he's set for a big future inside the ring in NXT, but I know he's been doing a fair bit of backstage and production work in NXT UK. Is that something he's been doing in the States? And is there any other active NXT stars doing that or that you've got your eye on to do that in the future?
Yeah, so, it's a funny thing in that backstage production work is not necessarily for everybody, right? There are certain people, it's something for me that when I very first started, and I was always fascinated with that other side of it. I think there are certain people that gravitate towards that, and then there are certain people that have zero interest in that whatsoever. For me, the ones that have interest in it, like Pete, he's just a sponge, man. He will dig into every single aspect of this business and engage in it in every single way you allow him to. Like, he's just incredible. And to be honest, especially at such a young age, just has an incredible mind for it. We've had, Johnny Gargano produces matches sometimes, especially with the younger guys for other shows. And when we were on the live tours doing what they would call the coconut shows in Florida, a lot of those talent, Johnny, Ciampa, Candice has done it before. People like that, where they would produce matches for younger talent coming up and work with them and sort of mentor them to that next level. Pete Dunne does it. Damian Priest has done it. Different people. I know Finn Balor has an interest in it. I think Walter's done some of that with you guys in the UK. Anytime you can do that. I think it's no different than being an actor and then, dabbling in directing a little. It just makes you think about it from the other side of the camera a bit differently, and then it makes you a better performer because of it. You agree?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, because we've had a number of guys who have just asked, and the people who show interest in it, Yeah, we give it a whirl that we're just, you know, they want to listen on the headsets, and it does. It helps them. Every one of them's commented that it gives them a little bit of a better understanding from a performance standpoint of how they can accentuate, you know, everything that it is that they're doing. And clearly, when, you know, we were in the UK, Pete was one of the people that showed interest in that. Lately, Walter has as well. And we're always more than happy to certainly, you know, give them the opportunity to do that. And, of course, Pete did a phenomenal job. And then, of course, we were beginning to transition him over here, so you aren't going to use him on TV as much over there. But while the wait was happening, we utilized him as much as we could. And again, and we'll continue to do that with the people that show interest in that respect.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, guys. Can't wait for Tuesday.
Thank you.
And our next question will come from Alex McCarthy with Talk Sport.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. Great show tonight. Congratulations. I wanted to touch upon NXT UK. Of course, we had Prelude tonight, but also there was a steady influence across the two nights as well with Walter, in my opinion, having the match of the week thus far. But I think we all want an NXT UK takeover at some point, given that the first three shows of those were amazing. And I know the circumstances have put us where we are now. June 20th is where I believe NXT UK Takeover Dublin was set. I don't know. I assume it will be a case-by-case basis nearer to the time. But for the second half of this year, June 21st, I think in England, things open up. Are you guys hoping to cram in 2-3, you know, how many takeovers perhaps that side of the year? And if you can't, what are the plans to move forward?
Yeah, look, we obviously would love to do that. It comes down to a few factors, not just can we get some fans into arenas. It's just from a production standpoint, you know, we're bringing in talent from all over, so the travel has to open up. We have to be able to have fans in. We have to be able to bring production people around. We have to be able to get some people from here over to there, you know, to be able to do the shows. But absolutely, you know, I know Sean feels this way, and I'll let him speak on it. But for me, there's not much more fun events we do than going over there, whether it be Blackpool or London or you know, any of that. And we were looking to hope to be able to get to Ireland and to Scotland and everywhere in between. But the world sort of shut that down for a minute. As soon as we can get back there, we absolutely will. I can't wait to get over there. If I could go over there tomorrow and figure out a way to run a show, we certainly will. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing, that we've had that date there for a while. Clearly, you know, We're hoping for the best, but yeah, we're just so subject to, you know, a lot of the restrictions and the way the world is right now, and it would be very tough. We're doing a great job of being able to, you know, do our regular show, BT Studios. The partnership with them has been great, but we've been able to do that with half of us over here, and I wouldn't imagine we would want to be able to hear. We would want to do a takeover without us physically being able to be over there with all the production, you know, aspects at our disposal. And so, obviously, yeah, we have to wait. Just like we said last night, man, when the world begins to work with us, we are going to be thrilled to get back to business.
Yeah. And I've heard all about the voice. Go ahead.
No, I said, sorry, we just heard all about the voice of God, Shawn Michaels, during the remote production.
Yeah, well, the voice of God might be a little bit rough, but it's amazing with the technology. We're thrilled about just even the hands-on experience we've gotten to have with the UK brand over there. But I do, I love going over there. I love being over there. There's nothing better than being over there physically with the talent. And again, like, as I referenced in one of the calls earlier, you know, there's a relationship there. I absolutely love, you know, the men and women that we work with over there. That's the brand that I've got to see from the ground up and working hand in hand with them from the very beginning. And it's been fantastic to bring it back to BT, but it's nothing like being over there physically and getting to really meet with the talent, be with them, and of course, man, be with the fans. y'all are some of the best over there, man, and it is. We miss you guys very much, and we can't wait to get people back in the building and, like I said, get back to business.
I can only imagine what some of those crowds like that will be like over there when things finally open and we can pack a place and do what we do. I want to be there for those because they're going to be off the chart as far as loud and everything else. So.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. Hi, NXT UK has been amazing since you came back. Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll do one more and we'll call it a night.
Our next question will come from Nick Houseman with Wrestling Inc.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking the time tonight. I'll keep it kind of brief. Gable Steveson was shown in the crowd at TakeOver. What's his status with WWE? Is he Olympic bound and WWE bound? Is he already under a contract with WWE? What's going on with Gable?
Gable came here tonight, enjoyed the show as a guest, had his dad with him. You know, he just won NCAA championships and the national championships and obviously qualified for the Olympics. And that is a big task at hand. So, a huge fan of what we do. We've been talking for a long time. And he wanted to come out here, reached out, wanted to come out, see TakeOver, see WrestleMania. And we'll see where it goes. You know, I would hate to say to a guy who's a junior in college, let's make some decisions in the moment while you're trying to get ready for the Olympics. You know, let's focus on one wonderful thing at a time. He's got a bright future in anything that he decides to do. But he's a massive fan of what we do. And I am a massive fan, as we all are, of what he can bring to the table here. And if he does make the decision to come here and want to become a WWE superstar, man, I have no doubt he will do it in record time and be amazing at it.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Wrap up conference call. I'll turn things back over to Paul to wrap things up.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you guys jumping on this call and being a part of this and all the support. Again, two amazing nights of TakeOver. We will now move into tomorrow's SmackDown, and then this weekend for WrestleMania at Raymond James Stadium. I would expect, as excited as we were to have a few hundred rabid NXT fans here at the Capitol Center, 25,000 or so in Raymond James Stadium is going to be incredible. It's amazing. Can't say it enough. Amazing to have the NXT universe back here and be a part of what we do. So cannot wait to have them be back and be out there and get everybody performing in front of them and get back to doing what we do. So,
man, I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
Yeah. And then Tuesday night NXT. We're starting a whole new chapter, and it's going to be great. So thank you all for the support. We'll talk soon.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.